Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Hornets and Trailblazers will mix it up. That's coming up tonight. Rick Bunnell covers the Hornets for the Charlotte Observer, and he joins us now. Rick, how are you?
Hey, John, how are you?
Doing well. Let me ask you, you had a chance, like, you're in Charlotte. That's Curry Country.
It is definitive Curry Country. I literally can remember Steph and Seth running around the locker room at the old Charlotte Coliseum, wadding up paper towels and tossing them into trash baskets. And God, I wish that had been a stock, because I sure would have liked to have gotten in on Intel right away.
Could you tell at that age that these guys were going to be great players, or just that they loved basketball?
What was cool about that, John, was how much Dell made those kids part of his professional life. They were at shoot-arounds all the time. And, you know, the person who could also speak to this, you know, later on when Dell was done playing for the Hornets and played in Milwaukee and Toronto, there are these really funny stories that Doug Smith from the Toronto Star tells about, you know, Steph getting into shooting games at the end of shoot-arounds in Toronto and literally beating NBA players on a regular basis with long-distance trick shots.
Rick Bunnell is our guest, covers the Charlotte Hornets for the Charlotte Observer. How is Charlotte playing? Because I think for the average typical NBA fan, you know, we don't pay that much attention to the Eastern Conference. Charlotte flies under the radar a little bit. How are these guys playing this year?
John, James Borrego is the 12th head coach I've covered, and he is by far the most improvisational person I've ever been around. He has already, and what I'm about to say, this is not injury driven. Last count, he had more than 250 different five-man combinations that he had used at least briefly. I mention that because he's been experimenting a lot, and most of what he's experimented with leaned in the direction of trying to find more offense on this roster and not being as good defensively as Steve Clifford was. I mention that because the question you asked me, they've been doing fine, bobbing along at about 500, but this month is brutally hard for them as far as road. And, you know, I'm sure you'd agree with me, if you're defensively flawed, it shows up a lot more away from home. And it's really showing up now. They are constantly giving up 30-point quarters. They gave up a 42-point fourth quarter in Los Angeles the other day against the Clippers. That's really bad news for them. When they break down, it's definitely at that end, not for an inability to score.
The Charlotte Hornets are middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Blazers have been playing pretty well. Specifically in the backcourt, how does Charlotte match up with Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and the Blazers?
Well, much better than they would have 3 or 4 days ago because they've got Jeremy Lamb back. They were really sort of tooling around when he had that hamstring strain. Borrego, and actually this worked out better than I would have anticipated, was actually starting a second-round rookie in Devontae Graham alongside Kemba Walker. Jeremy makes them a lot better. You know, I kind of think you could argue that these two point guards, you know, in Kemba and Damian, I think they're as good a practicer of pick-and-roll basketball as two people in the entire league. I would guess that if you got those analytics people to talk about usage within the pick and roll, I got to believe that they would be, the two of them have to be top five.
Rick Bunnell of the Charlotte Observer is with us. This is a team that is owned by Michael Jordan, now has Mitch Kupchak as the president and GM. You went through the Rich Cho era, though, and people in Portland are familiar with Rich Cho. How much of Rich Cho's fingerprints are on this roster, and what is it like to cover a team that Jordan owns?
You know, it's interesting, John. You will appreciate this. I really admire the way that you take on your job journalistically. I mean, what I mean is I've always found you as somebody who's tough but fair, and that's always how I have looked at my job. I told Jordan when he took majority control of the team, I said, I'm going to cover you the same way I would cover any other owner. I'm not going to, deify you because of what you did as a player, and I'm not going to, try to take you down a peg because, you're Michael Jordan. And at first I just thought he thought that was an odd thing for him to say to me, and over time I think we've developed a really sort of healthy relationship where he understands that, I am covering, him the way I would have covered Paul Allen. The other question you asked me is kind of interesting about Rich. When Rich got fired, it felt like the fan base really turned on him as far as wanting to blame him for anything and everything that had gone wrong over the last 5 years. And Rich made plenty of mistakes here. In particular, he made some bad calculations as far as drafting. Whether it was the most recent one was obviously taking Malik Monk over Donovan Mitchell. He took Frank Kaminsky over Devin Booker. He took MKG over Bradley Beal. But that doesn't mean that Rich did some things here that weren't really, really smart and, frankly, really forward-thinking. Just today I was going over the player payroll, and I was thinking probably the boldest things that Rich did were trade for Jeremy Lamb, and then before the new CBA, extend Kemba and extend Jeremy Lamb way before he had to do that. Rich saw how much the world was going to change as a result of the new CBA. Those two guys combined this season make about $19 million. They make less together than Nick Batum makes by himself. I would argue that Kemba at $12 million a year could be the most cost-effective player in the entire league right now.
Yeah, I look at the roster and I see some players that are nice players. How close do fans in Charlotte feel like they are to breaking through?
A long, long way away from breaking through. I think if you pulled the fan base, they would have been just fine with pulling the plug and tanking. John, there has been a fatigue factor. When you take the entire 30 years of NBA basketball in Charlotte between the two teams, two franchises, they have never gotten past the second round of the playoffs. People are exhausted in terms of patience here. They want to see something big. They want to see Mitch Kupchak, do something really, really bold. And it's interesting, I think you'll appreciate this having covered, the Blazers, being around the Blazers for so long, that people are tired of sort of good, a little bit better than mediocre. And they're kind of exhausted by, you tried this and you tried this and you tried this, and we understand you're trying, but it isn't working. And so, Mitch has had to kind of educate people the idea that you can't undo all these bad contracts in 12 minutes, and if you did, it would probably be a really short-sighted bad thing to do.
Rick Bunnell, I wish you the best at his terrific insight about tonight's Blazer opponent. Thank you, man.
Sure thing, John. Thanks for having me.
There he is from the Charlotte Observer. Rick Bunnell covers the Charlotte Hornets. Cover a Michael Jordan team. Michael Jordan, awesome competitor. As an owner, just because you're great, hitter doesn't mean you can be a great hitting coach. I like hitting coaches who have struggled myself. John's in Northwest Portland. He wants to talk about the Portland baseball stadium. John, what's up, man?
Hey, I want to talk about Jenny Burkett and that group down there at the legislature.
Yep.
Do we still hang people in effigy, or is that out of whack?
No, but I mean, I don't think that's super hyperbole there. I mean, I just think you know, there's a better way to say it, don't you think?
Yeah, okay, all right. I'll lighten up on that deal. But this is the most boneheaded deal I've ever seen in my life. Like you say, nothing happens unless a stadium gets built. What in the heck are they worried about? This is poppycock. The major league players make enough money, it all goes into a fund, and the bonds are paid off.
Yeah.
Anybody with seventh grade education knows that. And these boneheads are down there in the legislature. There's three or four other people, that Jenny Burkett, or whatever her name is. My God, we have a chance to step up and be a big league city. Everybody complains about the traffic, and the people from California are moving in here, and they're doing this, and they're ruining our city. Come on, get with it. We're going to grow whether we have baseball or not. But I'm frustrated, John. I like your show, and I like you, but this is just crazy. So that's my opinion.
Appreciate the phone call. Look, I think people are frustrated. That's true. That's clear. I mean, the phone lines don't lie. The Twitter timeline doesn't lie. I am not about giving Major League Baseball players a pass. They're going to work in this state, and opposing players are going to work in this state. And I would like to see the state of Oregon tax their salary, tax their earnings while they're at the ballpark and have the teams withhold it. And that money should absolutely go towards helping build the stadium and helping solve some other problems in the state. That's where I stand. I cannot be talked off that position. We've asked the good state senator, Jenny Burdick, to come on the show. She said she's busy today. I've asked her to come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of next week. Any hour, if she can find 5 minutes in her day, you'll hear her on the show. If she can't, then I think she's running and probably afraid to answer questions. I'm not going to ambush her. I'm not going to ask her anything unfair. She's going to try to get an understanding of how somebody who's here to represent the state, represent the people, constituents in her district, how somebody could not understand the law. That's all. Enough of that. Punch It Audio is still ahead of us. It's Friday. It's Friday, right? Is it Friday?
It is Friday.
What does that mean to you? When you think of Friday, what do you think about?
This Friday, I think about the NFL playoffs, actually.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to these playoffs. This is going to be a great weekend of NFL.
Chargers or Patriots?
I'm going to give it to the Patriots. I can't pick against them in New England. Just can't do it.
Eagles or Saints?
Saints.
What about Kansas City and the Colts?
Oh, I have to pick Kansas City, but man, it's the toughest one for me. I told you, it's still the toughest one. I think the Colts can beat them.
And finally, the Rams and the Cowboys.
Rams. Gurley's playing.
I don't disagree. I think any of your picks are valid. Obviously, anybody wins these games, nobody's going to doubt. But a couple of things I want to talk about. One, Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a witch. Okay, you look at the history that Foles has with winning games where he's an underdog, and you think about the great quarterbacks in history that have overcome. If Nick Foles wins this week, he becomes the first NFL quarterback to win 6 straight starts as an underdog. 5 other players have won 5 in a row. You know, you look at the 3 games he started in week 15, 16, and 17, he had the most yards and highest percentage of completed passes of any other quarterback. There is something about Nick Foles. That's the only reason I hesitate with, like, just paving the way for the Saints to go all the way. They have a little bit of a Nick Foles situation they have to deal with first.
I think the Saints are going to come into this game with a chip on their shoulder, especially after last year's debacle, or the when they were made the playoffs and they lost to Minnesota. I just, the way they lost,
I think
they're going to be really focused in this game, and I think they're going to pull it off.
Maybe. We'll see. That, I mean, I just think Foles is the only pause.
Yeah.
All right, the Colts and the Chiefs. I have a same situation.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes. I know all the young quarterbacks lost, but Patrick Mahomes is talented. He's wicked. He's not a player if I'm a defense that I want to line up and play against. They got to deal with Patrick Mahomes and Arrowhead. That two things there.
Problem with Kansas City is their defense isn't very good. They're not. They're the worst defense left in the playoffs.
I'm not disagreeing, but we're in an era where offenses win.
I know, and it's the playoffs, and the Colts can run the ball, and they've got a great quarterback, and they're going to pound the ball, and they've got a good defense.
Chargers, Patriots. I get you. I've already mentioned earlier this week the mystique and the aura of the Patriots. You got to go through New England to get to where you're going, but the Chargers are 8-1 on the road.
Yep.
This is a tough game for New England and a flawed New England team.
Kills me to have to pick the Patriots. Kills me.
And then the Rams and the Cowboys. I don't like the Cowboys in this game, but Cowboys run defense is pretty good.
Yep.
And the Rams run everything through Todd Gurley. If Gurley is getting yards, everything else works for them on offense. When Gurley has trouble, they sort of they're jammed up a little bit. Because now you've taken away the run game. They're not that difficult to defend. That's what they want to do. They play numbers.
Do you think this is one of the hardest weekends of playoffs in a long time?
Yeah,
I do too. I think all those games I picked, they could go all of them. I could lose every one of them, and I'd be like, all right, whatever. I mean, it could go either way.
Here's how I feel. I feel like of the four games, the easiest game to pick, I think, is the Saints over the Eagles.
I do too.
Then it's a mess because I even think the Rams Cowboys game is dicey.
Yeah.
I don't think the Cowboys are going all the way, but the Cowboys could upset the Rams in LA. They could win that game. They just matched up in a way that, like, I worry if Gurley can't run the ball, what are the Rams going to do? And will the rest of that be easy to solve? And, you know, I've watched the Rams at the end of the season. They were not the same as they were at the beginning, in the middle of the season. So I think that I'm picking the Rams because they're at home. Don't love the pick. I think San Diego's going to win in New England. I think they're going to win that game.
I hope they do. That's one pick I hope I'm wrong. I do hope I'm wrong
but
in that pick.
I wouldn't bet it because
no.
New England. Like that's. I just think San Diego's going to win that game outright. They're going to go in there and win that game. I like Kansas City at home. I just think Arrowhead. I buy the Colts, and they're playing so great. But I'm tired of hearing people talk about how great the Colts are. Like, go out and prove it. Go out and win this game at Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes. You win this game, I'm on board and I'm believing Andrew Luck could, you know. But right now I'm going, it kind of feels like there's a story every year that I think gets a little bit hyped.
Mm-hmm.
Colts feel hyped to me.
Do they?
Let's see it.
I thought they played great against the Texans.
Yeah.
I did. I thought they were good. They had their defense was solid.
But let's not forget they backed into the playoffs. They beat the Titans, who didn't have Mariota.
Backed in because they had a horrible first half of the season. That second half of the season was fantastic.
Let's see them put their money where their mouth is.
They've done it once. They can do it again.
So my picks right now are the Saints, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Rams.
Okay, the
I'm picking Chargers. one road team.
Yeah, your Chargers are the ones that is the only game that we differ on.
There it is. That brings us to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
But be
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
The NCAA's transfer portal got some activity today as Braxton Burmeister stepped into it. Or at least he was entered in it. He's on the move. Former Oregon Duck quarterback is going to be transferring. Where he ends up, nobody knows. But he's in the portal. This is a good thing. This portal has given teams that are looking for talent and the ability to take them. And it's been great for players who are on the move looking for a place to play. Burmeister's era in Oregon went without saying that he had trouble throwing the football. They had trouble scoring points and moving the chains when he was at quarterback. But I'm not blaming him. He was thrust into the position before it was time. I think that he's done a good job of keeping his head high. I never like to see young players get their confidence destroyed, but I think Oregon put him in some unfair positions last year and asked him to do some things that he just wasn't ready to do. Braxton Burmeister, no hard feelings. No, you're on your way out, but he's in the transfer portal. If that sounds cool, then you're like me. You agree that that sounds cool. I think that's the coolest thing ever. I'm in the transfer portal right now. I can't get back to you. That's going to be my message.
Sounds like you're in limbo, though.
Can't take this call right now. I'm sorry. I'm in the transfer portal. Sounds like I'm in the restroom, though. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
Not. I have been sucked into the transfer portal. I'm on my way. Like, who knows where he gets spit out? Portland State, Sacramento State, Eastern Washington. Who knows? But Braxton Burmeister will no longer be an Oregon Duck after this season. Coming up, we'll talk to Mike Jorgensen about that. He's the voice of the Ducks. On the radio, he's an analyst.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.